Welcome to the Heal Here podcast. I'm your host, Kate Flick, aka Oracle Lightworker. I'm a Holy Fire 3 Karuna Reiki Master Teacher and Akashic Records Reader. I also happen to be a Gemini, don't judge, a 5-1 emotional manifester and empowered empath. I am literally obsessed with helping you heal and showing you that you are your own best healer. Join me here where we will explore different techniques and modalities and where I will share personal experiences and channel guidance to help support you as you move along the spiritual and healing path. I am so glad you're here.
Revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Do-do-do-do-do. Boom-boom-boom.
Welcome, everybody, to the Heal Here podcast. I am revved up like a deuce, y'all. What does that even mean? I just feel like it means that you are fired up and ready to go. I need to look this up. What the heck is revved up by like a deuce? Please let me know if you have any idea. I need to know. Okay, Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Never heard of this. Have you heard of Manfred Mann's Earth Band before? Maybe I have, but it's not ringing a bell. But this song came into my awareness after I opened the Akashic Records for everybody here at the Heal Here podcast, for all the listeners today. And it's funny because after I opened the Akashic Records, I just sat and immediately this song came in, but I was singing it incorrectly. A song will come in and I'll just start singing it. And I was singing, guided by the light. And I didn't know any of the other words. Like, guided by the light. And so I immediately went to Spotify, like I usually do, to type in the song so I could pull up the lyrics. And there was no guided by the light. Like there was some other random songs and I was like, what the heck? Like this is a popular song. Why am I not finding it? And then I went to Google and then it kind of hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not guided by the light. It's blinded by the light. And so yeah, I successfully pulled it up on Spotify. I'm wondering if guided by the light is just coming in because that's the message. But yeah, so I did go to Google after I looked at the lyrics because I'm like, what is this song about? Like, I am having some issues even understanding what this song is about. And apparently, this song by Manfred Mann's Earth Band is actually a cover for Bruce Springsteen's song from his 1973 album, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Never heard of that album either. But yeah, I guess this is a British rock band that released their cover 3 years later and it just skyrocketed to success. So that's a little history about the song. And as for the lyrics, apparently the meaning behind this track is all about the thrill of adolescence. And they say that the song is packed with the invincibility of youth and the hopeful perspective that anything is possible. And so I feel like that is why this song is coming through right now. The thrill of adolescence, I feel like that is synonymous with the thrill of ascension right now. Okay. And the song, it goes on to say that in this song, it's a roller coaster of being a young musician. The downs are just as prevalent as the ups. And the lyrics hint to the downsides of always being on the move and struggling to make it to the top. And to me, what's coming through right now is this song is coming into our awareness because, yeah, the shift is in full effect, everybody. And I think a lot of people are feeling it, especially as we're in eclipse season. The eclipse be eclipsing, y'all. The eclipse be eclipsing. I've been feeling the effects. I can expand on that in a moment. But what is coming through for me is that this song can kind of be applied to the light workers, people on the ascension path, and this is a hopeful time. Okay, I think people are feeling the shift. There are shifts happening, and while it sometimes may feel like the world is crumbling around us, if you really connect in with yourself, you know the truth that this, the changes that are happening in the external are necessary. The crumblings that are happening, these are all necessary to move us forward collectively on the ascension path. And the crumbling, the tower moments, those are challenging, of course. And people are experiencing their own personal tower moments, their own personal crumblings, if you will. And it's challenging. Okay, there are ups and downs on this path, and I'm being reminded of the spiral. And I think I talked about this in my one of my last Reiki trainings. Maybe I did the Reiki Master training, or maybe I talked about it on this podcast. I will never know, and I apologize every time I repeat myself, but I doodled spirals everywhere. Like growing up, I am not an artist. I can barely draw stick people. I'm not a gifted artist, but the one thing I doodled over the years, there's one thing that consistently I doodled was this spiral pattern everywhere. And now I'm like, okay, this all makes sense. Like the ascension path is a spiral path. Okay. And you can see like within the spiral, there are ups and then holy shit. Okay. I'm going to have to make this explicit this episode. I feel like it could get spicy. Here we go. Spicy time. Spicy V. Are you watching Big Brother Canada? Okay, I got to keep myself on the straight and narrow today. Okay, no diverging, Kate. No diverging. But that spiral ascension path is that what we're on. And we can feel high highs, but we can also experience very low lows. But it's always important to bring ourselves back to our place of neutrality that I always talk about, the middle space, so that we can navigate. And you know, you don't want to attach to the highs and you don't want to attach to the lows. And if we can stay grounded throughout the changes within our personal lives and in the collective, then that is how we ascend more quickly, is just finding that middle space and being in that place of neutrality. And what's coming through is that we're being challenged lately. And believe me, I am being personally challenged as well. Like what came to me this week was a reminder of a previous episode. And I think it could have been the forecast for 2024. It was an episode leading up to that. But I remember channeling through information about the energetic climate for 2024. And I kept hearing there's going to be so many enticing energies, like of chaos and drama. And I just kept hearing the word enticing. They're going to be alluring and trying to pull you into these energies. But it's important to not allow yourself to be pulled in. It's important to, again, find that place of neutrality, because I also heard that you can use these energies for manifestation, for bringing your goals and dreams to fruition, for co-creating with the universe. It was showing me that these chaotic energies could be harnessed and used to propel you down your path and to bring abundance into your life and to help you realize some of your dreams. And I just saw this being such a powerful energetic time, but that there was going to be a temptation with just being involved in the drama and the chaos. And I'm not gonna lie, I have been struggling with that this past week or so, especially with everything unfolding with Kate Middleton. Like I found myself being pulled into everything. I love to go down rabbit holes. Like again, I've talked about this before, but I don't know if it's the hyperfixation or the human design profile one investigator in me, but your girl loves to go down a rabbit hole and freaking burrow in and hibernate for a while and not come up for air. So, yeah. And did I go down some rabbit holes? Yes. And then I realized, like, this was really taking my energy and giving my energy, draining my energy to these places that it wasn't serving me. So I had to set some boundaries and I had to try to find a place of neutrality, because it is so easy to be drawn in. It is so easy. And there are going to be lots of things in the days, months, and years ahead that are going to entice and allure you, and it's going to want to pull in your attention, your focus, and your energies. And when that happens, is what I'm hearing, is when your focus is there, your focus is being taken away from the things that you want to create in your own life. Like, what they're showing me is that when you are giving all your energy to these things that are outside of yourself, these are external, these things that perhaps aren't affecting your day-to-day life, they're showing me you're essentially giving your power away. And it's not to say you can't care and be involved in educating yourself and being involved in activism and different things, but they're showing me a lot of people are giving their energies away, okay, they're saying the word entities. I don't know why, but they're using the word entities to these larger entities, and I'm seeing almost this big hub. I don't know how to even explain it. It's this big hub that it's like siphoning energies. I'm just seeing all this energy being siphoned into this. I don't even know how I would describe what I'm seeing right now. It's like a motherboard. Like this big machine I'm seeing, like, siphoning all this collective energy. And it's like that, what's coming through is this is keeping us powerless, okay? Because the more we give energy to these, the latest drama, the latest headline or chaos or that's going on in the collective, or the latest thing that's causing polarity and division, when we give even just our focus and attention to this, it is taking us off our path. Okay, and I, believe me, I'm resisting this because some of it is entertainment. It's a form of distraction. And a lot of times we want to be distracted, okay? And we want to be entertained, and it sucks us in, okay? And it's designed to do so. And so what they're showing me, and this is just such a good reminder for me right now, is you need to be so deliberate and intentional with where you put your focus. Okay, if you are somebody who is complaining about not achieving your goals and dreams, and again, that victim mentality keeps coming in, and you feel like you are hard done by, or you have gone through so many challenges and life isn't fair, they're saying you have to readjust your focus. Okay, they're showing me the need to have a shift in perspective. And they're saying, you know what, like, most people right now who are feeling victimized, it's understandable why you feel that way, because you have gone through so many things. And if you are a light worker, a starseed, like, a lot of people have chosen a more difficult path in this lifetime. Okay. And I hate to say you signed up for this, but this is what they're saying. They're likening it to like reality TV shows when they say you signed up for this, and it's like, yeah, nobody really wants to hear that, but they're saying, well, you really did sign up for this. But we're not saying this in a punishing way, like, look, you signed up for this. We're telling you, we're trying to get you to see the bigger picture, that you signed up for this for a reason, not just to endure these terrible things that you've gone through, or to suffer, to be going through these challenges. They're saying, like, zoom out, see the bigger picture, and realize, like, you signed up for this for a reason, and maybe contemplate, okay, what that reason might be, what lessons you may be learning right now through these difficult challenges that you're either going through or have gone through or may go through in the future. They're just saying your perspective is so important. And now they're bringing in information about miracles. And they're saying like the possibility for miracles is just so great, yet so many people do not realize. They do not realize that miracles are happening around them every day, and miracles are but a shift in perspective. And you need to invite these miracles into your life. And they're saying you will not experience miracles when you are sitting in a victim mindset. And I think they're bringing in this victim mindset a lot now is because, again, I've said this in other episodes, but like, we have been so conditioned to feel like victims, okay, and to feel fear. Like, they're showing me like victimhood and feeling fear are like one and the same. Like, they're synonymous with each other. And so if you are trapped in that frequency of fear, it's going to be near impossible for you to see the miracles in your life and be aware of those possibilities. And they're showing me there are so many miracles that are possible for you this year and moving forward. But they're just, it's like you're blocking them. You're blocking them with this conditioning and with this mindset of scarcity and fear and maybe believing that you're not good enough. What I'm hearing is there's some self-worth issues tied to this. Like, I don't, like, deep down, you don't really believe that you deserve to experience a miracle. It's like they're saying that the focus now needs to be on loving yourself and seeing yourself as worthy. And this is obviously tied to some wounds from childhood. So if you are somebody who is struggling right now and you cannot see the forest for the trees, then what's coming through is it's important for you to just focus on yourself right now. Focus on loving yourself, accepting yourself, releasing guilt and shame. Many of us are carrying so much guilt and shame, and this is a perfect time to work through it and release it. Okay, it's eclipse season, and let's eclipse those feelings out. Let's release them from our bodies through somatic work. Okay, gentle movement, breath work, affirmations, like acknowledging and feeling our feelings. Okay, so this is a time I'm hearing that working through our shadows is going to help us love and accept ourselves much more deeply, because self-love is about loving all parts of yourself, not just what is deemed by society as the desirable parts or by our families. Okay, we were all conditioned to be okay showing a certain side of ourselves to others, the one that was deemed presentable and acceptable and lovable. And many of us have hidden these other parts of ourselves and repressed these parts of ourselves because we feel shame about them. But you're being reminded that everyone has shadows, okay? You are not a bad person, and we have all done things that we have carried shame around and guilt around, and it's time to release those feelings. It's time to feel those feelings and then allow them to be released. Okay, so as per usual, I came into this episode not knowing exactly what I was going to do. I obviously know this is the April energetic forecast, the Akashic Oracle forecast, and I kind of get bored with doing things the same way. Like, for a long period of time, I would always channel the opening message and then go back and talk about it. And I just like to change things up, do things differently. And today I'm being called to pull some cards, and I feel like there's going to be some information, some guidance coming through from the Akashic Records as well, as they are open. They are already open. So let's choose some cards today. I'm feeling drawn to start with Rebecca Campbell's Work Your Light Oracle and my pendulum. confirmed that that was a good choice. I can't believe this weekend is Easter. Like, it's crazy. Crazy time. Oh my gosh, why is there... Oops, some of these cards are upside down. Okay, I need to fix these cards for 2 seconds. Yeah. Oh yeah, I feel like I'm making small talk. So, did you go away for March break? In Prince Edward Island, it's March break this week. And so it's been extra long because it had last Friday off, then all this week off, and then it goes into Easter, so they're back till Tuesday. And we didn't go anywhere, so we are here. I feel like we're in the minority. Did you go away? Did you have fun? Was it warm? Let me know. Okay, nothing like making... Oh, and something just fell out of the deck. Oh, this is a good one. Leap. You go first. The universe will catch you. Okay, this is something I'm not going to... I might go to the guidebook, but I'm not going to go yet. But like, I totally feel this energy so much. Okay, right now is that people... And I think I said this last week, but you're being called to do things differently. Take a risk. This is the time. Like, you will be supported. You need to just do... Yeah, I did say this last week because I said, do the damn thing. And this is a confirmation, is like, this is go time. Okay. Like, it may feel very scary, and they're showing me like, this feels like probably the worst time for you to jump and leap, because there's so much instability in the collective that you are picking up on that. So you feel like it's so unpredictable and, oh, like, I don't know, the economy is this and that. And like, what I'm hearing is people are searching for stability right now because they feel like the world is a shit show, excuse my language. So they're like clinging on to things that provide them with some semblance of stability. And they're saying like, this is going to be especially hard for you to leap and take the risk now, because that's what you're clinging to, but you're being called to do it anyway. Do it afraid, do it scared. So let go. Okay, stop clinging, because they're showing me the more you cling to these things that you perceive that are bringing you stability, it's like they're showing me like the opposite happening in the long run. Okay, these things that you think were the sure thing are actually not. Like, some of these things that you've put your trust and faith in, like, that you think are keeping you safe. And this can be so many different things, okay? But they're saying like, a lot of these things aren't really keeping you safe in the way that you think they are. And so it's time to let go. And that could be of so many things, okay? A job, a mindset, a relationship, a bad habit, like bad habit. Like, is my accent showing? How do you say it? A bad habit. Bad habit. But you got to let it go. You've got to let it go. And this card says you go first, meaning like, you came here to be the example. Okay. And this has been coming up for me in my life personally. I've been receiving this guidance for myself personally, that I've gone through a bunch of different challenges. We all have. And I feel like I've grown and learned so many lessons from these challenges. And it's through these challenges that I've gone through that has helped me help other people. Okay. And, you know, I'm passionate about being on the healing path and about helping other people. And I know that I had to go through these things because that is part of, it's all intertwined in my purpose. And what was coming through for me recently is that it doesn't always have to be this hard. Okay. Like, you can learn lessons in a more easeful way, and things can be, I just kept hearing the word ease. Okay. You can call in ease and have that in your life and learn your lessons again in a more easeful way. And that might sound kind of crazy or impossible when you look at the world right now, but it's about your intention and your focus as well. And so I'm trying to focus on learning my lessons in a more easeful way. Okay. And I'm setting that intention. And what I've been receiving from myself lately, and I feel like this confirms it, is that we need to go first. And so many light workers and starseeds have gone through a lot of different hardships. And we had to go through these difficult things first and then help other people, perhaps if they're going through difficult things. Okay. And that was kind of part of our path. But now we're being called to go first as leaders in the new earth. Okay. Showing people how to do things differently. And that might mean leaving your job, taking a risk. Okay. Leaving a relationship that no longer serves you. It's like doing these things that are outside the box that you may be ridiculed for. Okay. You may be questioned about. People may not understand. You need to become comfortable with being misunderstood. And that is something personally that is so difficult for me. I feel very misunderstood a lot of the time. Like, I feel like people have ideas about me. They project, like, there's a lot of projections, and I need to be careful because that puts me into a victim mentality sometimes, where I'm like, I don't feel like many people understand me. I don't think a lot of people see me for who I truly am. I feel like there's a lot of projections happening. And that's, I think, common with a lot of people who identify as light workers, okay? If you are here to make changes at this time, you incarnated at this time, this pivotal time, your light is going to hurt the eyes of some people. They're not going to want to see it, and they are potentially going to be projecting onto you. Okay, you are going to be misunderstood, and that's something I still grapple with. That's something I still struggle with all the time, is just allowing people to misunderstand me. Okay, and it's hard because it's something I yearn for so deeply, to be understood. And maybe it's because I'm a manifester and I have this really thick, I don't know if the word is thick aura, dense aura, I think is the word. But I just feel like a lot of people can't see through my aura. So then they make assumptions. And so again, what I'm hearing is, if you are a lightworker, if you're a starseed, you can't fall into that victim mentality, because I have many times, like, no one understands me, like, da 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 da. And then it limits you because you are sitting in that victim energy. And I know that's something that I have to work on. Like, that's where I see myself kind of falling into that victim mentality, is when I feel like people don't understand me. So what's coming through is, where starseeds and lightworkers, those on the ascension path, you had to go first with going through maybe a lot of challenges that maybe people in the periphery, like in your families, your friend groups, haven't had to go through the same challenges as you've gone through. Maybe you're, and again, you may have felt victimized, like, why do I have to go through all this stuff nobody else does? But like, you had to go first. Okay, maybe in experiencing some of these things. And now what I'm hearing is, you get to go first in receiving abundance, okay? Being compensated for your spiritual gifts, in working in unconventional jobs, okay? Doing things that light you up, following your passions and loving your life every day, like exiting the matrix and all the beliefs around what you should be doing and what you need to do to keep up with the Joneses. And, you know, they're just saying keeping up with the Joneses has been ingrained, okay, in the human psyche. Okay, it's like a capitalist, I don't know, they're saying it's like capitalist mind programming that we have. They're just showing me our brains, this little part of our brain that's been programmed to inherently believe, like, you know, that we need to be doing things like other people around us, or to measure our success based on these things that really don't mean anything. And we are being encouraged to look at things differently. I feel like we may have talked about this last week, but like, what do you really need to survive? Like, what's important to you? Like, what is really important to you? And where are you spending all your time? It's just that realization sometimes that like, what am I doing with my life? And a lot of times I know it's out of necessity that we are working the jobs that we're working to provide for our families. But again, they're just saying like, you need to start making the shifts. If you know that there's something more for you, you know that this is not fulfilling you deeply, like your job or where you're spending a lot of your time, you do have more control than you think. Like if you think you're stuck here forever, then that's victimhood. Okay. You will stay there forever. If you do not see the possibilities, okay, that there is a possibility for you, then you will stay exactly where you are. It will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. They just keep saying, like, if you only knew how powerful you really are and what you can do through small shifts. And again, so this you go first, the universe will catch you. What's coming through for 2024, but they're saying like a lot is possible in April. They're showing me like a flame being like a match being, I don't know, you know, a match being ignited, illuminate, like what, you know, when you drag the match, what is that called? When you ignite it, ignite the flame. I don't know. They're showing me that happening. And it's like, that's what April's energy is. This is where it's like, the initial spark that's going to lead to more things. And I feel like they're showing me the conditions are conducive, okay, for this to take off, like whatever it is you're doing for it to explode in a positive way. Because, and they're showing me like somebody making a bonfire and just showing me like the wood is very dry, like the conditions are perfect to create this fire. And sometimes it's not like no matter how hard you try, you can light a fire. And if you're trying to light a big bonfire in the middle of a rainstorm, it's going to be very difficult for that first spark to ignite, okay, and to catch. And they're saying like in April, the conditions are conducive, okay, they are conducive to you making those first steps, taking that leap, and I'm just seeing things igniting for you. So that's a very encouraging sign for April. And I'm hearing, despite what's going on in the world, in your personal life, like they're saying two things can exist at once. And what they're showing me is like, you could be, you know, be going through something in your life, a challenger. There could be some crazy stuff happening in the world, but they're saying like, that doesn't mean that like your dreams have to be on hold. Like that doesn't mean you can't be extremely successful in your business, for instance, or in finding love, like whatever it is on your, you know, bucket list right now, the things that you want to bring into your life right now, maybe it's a loving relationship. Maybe it is more abundance in your life. Maybe that's through time freedom. Okay. Maybe you want to just have more free time. Maybe you need more money right now. Whatever it is, they're showing me that two things can exist at once. So they're showing me the dichotomy here that there can be challenges and like real true abundance. And it's like joy and like almost pain, like the two things can coexist. And so just remember that for the month ahead, if you are going through some challenges, that, you know, that it doesn't mean that everything in your life has to go to shit. Excuse my language. Okay. Like it just because one part of your life is experiencing a challenge right now doesn't, you know, we don't need to have this all or nothing mentality. They're just saying black and white thinking. They're saying like you need to be open to the possibility that you can be extremely successful and abundant, like your definition of successful. They're not talking about society's definition of successful, but they're saying your definition of successful, you can feel so abundant in one area of your life while experiencing a really difficult challenge in another aspect of your life, and the two can exist. So I think it's just a reminder that they're saying don't throw the towel in. Like if you're going through a personal challenge, they're saying that doesn't mean you have to just throw in the towel if you're trying to start a spiritual business, for example, or leave your job, try to find a new job, or try to find a relationship. They're saying like, don't give up. Okay. You can experience abundance even when you're going through another challenge. So that's something to keep in mind. Okay. I'm not really called to go to, I think we expanded enough on that. I'm not really called to go to the guidebook for that one. I think that that's what we were supposed to hear. I'm going to see if there's any more. Yes. There's another one from Rebecca Campbell. Mirror, who or what is triggering you? You know what? I don't even think I have ever received this card from this deck. I've used it so many times, but I don't remember seeing this image. A girl is kneeling and by the water, and there's like a reflection of herself. And it's like, mirror, who or what is triggering you? And I probably will go into the book, but what's coming through is, and I know this is cliche or said a million times, but like our triggers are our greatest teachers. But, you know, what is triggering us in someone else is, you know, most likely a part of us that hasn't been fully expressed, a part of us that we're ashamed of. Maybe this person is triggering you because they represent something that you want to be, and you have, you know, they're maybe fully in their power, and like that is threatening to you. Or again, like maybe they're doing things that you wish you could do. You know, you wish you could speak your truth. And so when they speak their truth, that triggers the living daylights out of you. So it's not fun to come to that realization that the people that are triggering you are always showing you something about yourself that needs to be healed. That's not really fun to recognize that, but that is usually the case. So I am going to go to the guidebook here and see what Rebecca Campbell says. Okay. The filter of our own experience is how we experience life 90% of the time, through our own projections. When someone reminds us of an unhealed experience, we get triggered. Often it's an unconscious thing. People and situations can trigger our mirrors to reflect back to us what we believe to be true about life, the universe, and ourselves. Mirrors pointing to our shadow and our light. Mirrors revealing the parts of us that are yet to be accepted, witnessed, or loved. This card is guiding you to look closely at what experiences or people are currently triggering you and what they could be mirroring back to you. When have you felt like this before? Could they be opportunities to heal something in you, or are they shining a light on something that longs to be witnessed in you? This goes for the good and the bad. The good, those who we admire and put on a pedestal. If we do not realize that we are attracted to them because we are like them, we will need to cut them down in order to rise to their level. The bad, those we despise, are envious of, and put down. If we do not realize that they trigger something in us, then it is still yet to be healed. Let me read this again. If we do not realize that they trigger something in us, then it is still yet to be healed, and we will remain hurt and wounded ourselves. So the questions at the end are, who or what is triggering you? What is it in you that they are triggering? What part of you longs to be witnessed? Okay, I obviously can't read today, but this is kind of on par with what came through for me earlier. So what I am hearing is that people may feel quite triggered this month, and what they're showing me is that eclipse season is going to intensify that, and as well that these triggers are our teachers and are going to help us identify our shadows that need healing. And it's going back to that message that I got at the beginning of the podcast, that this is a time for shadow work, okay, for connecting with those parts of ourselves that we have been ashamed of or we have repressed, and accepting those parts of ourselves so that we can fully love ourselves. And so most people perhaps don't associate shadow work with self-love work, but that is what I'm hearing, is that the basis, the foundation of self-love work is shadow work. So let these triggers this month allow you to love yourself more deeply, allow you to connect with all these parts of yourselves that perhaps you were not willing to see before. All right, so I'm going to see if there's any more from this deck. I feel like there may be one more. Yes, there is at least one more. Let's see if there's more than one. No, I'm getting one here. Okay. Play, come on, baby, play that song. Do, do, do. Oh, J-Lo, turn it up and turn it on. Did I do that on a matcha pour recently for anybody who watches my Instagram stories? Play, come on, baby, play that song. Okay, I want to now. That's a good tune, everybody. Okay, play, have fun, celebrate, don't be so serious. So, and what I'm hearing right now is play is going to be especially important if you are in the depths of shadow work. Okay, you can't just be doing shadow work all the live long day, okay, staring at your shadows, like feeling all the feelings. Like, they're showing me the need for play to like help you transmute any lower frequency energies, to help you integrate, okay, and heal, connect with your inner child. And they're saying that it's really going to be important to let a bit loose this month, okay? No matter what you're going through, carve out some time for play and connecting with activities that you love to do. And they're saying, like, this is not time wasted. This is well worth your time, and make it as important as any other responsibility that you have. They're saying this is literally essential, like a responsibility. Mark it in your calendar. Activities that are fun, that light you up, that make you laugh, okay? And you might, well, what I'm hearing right now is that might mean reconnecting or connecting with some friends from childhood, okay? And having some laughs, like reminiscing. And they said there's nothing wrong with, you know, laughing about things from the good old days, okay? And you know what I'm hearing is, while the focus really should always be on the present, like they're saying, we like to encourage the focus to always be in the present moment. You don't want to be projecting into the future, ruminating on the past. They said there is benefit and medicine when you are reminiscing and sharing positive memories, okay, and laughing and sharing funny stories. So this could be with family members or friends, but carving out some time to connect, okay, and to connect with people who knew you as a child, okay? Because what I'm hearing is, like, for anybody who does feel misunderstood, if you are able to connect with somebody who knew you as a young child, like, they knew you more in your, in one of the most purest forms of you, like in your truest essence. And before, maybe you were fully conditioned, and it's important to, if you can, connect with people who have experienced you, the joy of being around you as a child. And sometimes we need these people to remind us of who we are, okay? And they're showing me people have become hardened over the years, again, showing me the layers of conditioning and the responsibilities, like weighing people down. And they're just saying it's time to shed those layers, like let that go and try to connect back with your inner child. I'm hearing that inner child work, it would be very helpful for a lot of people right now. It's going to be very important to connect and reconnect with your inner child. And again, a starting point for that could just be doing an activity that you'd love to do. Maybe you used to play the guitar. Maybe you used to love to draw, but you're an accountant now. I don't know. I'm just using that as an example. And you don't have time to draw. You're crunching numbers. You're working 9 to 5, probably a lot more during tax season, and working crazy hours. how could you ever dedicate any time to drawing? Like, that's silly. That's foolish. That's for kids. Like, what I'm hearing is a lot of people, I'm hearing a lot of millennials, and I've heard this before, but this is what they're bringing into my awareness, that millennials, a lot of millennials have monetized their hobbies, and they feel like they can't do a hobby unless it's a side hustle that's generating some sort of income. And that's kind of taken the joy out of some things. Like, some people are actually doing something as a side hustle that they like to do as a child, but it's actually taken the joy out of it because now it's to generate income. It's not for just the love of this activity and to experience happiness and joy. So they're saying it's important to reclaim some of these activities. And when they're saying reclaim, they're saying take back the joy. Okay, is there a way, even if you need it as a side hustle, can you make it more joyful, more like it was when you were a kid? Or if you don't have a side hustle, okay, and you just feel like you don't have time for anything, they're saying, like, to reclaim that part of your childhood, like, start engaging in some of these activities that you liked to do as a child. Or maybe they're saying do some activities that you wish you did as a child or you never experienced. Like, and they're showing me with my puzzling. I never did puzzles as a child. That's not an activity that anybody in my family did, but that is an activity that people do kind of, I feel like, associate maybe with children, not 1,000-piece puzzles, but I feel like a lot of adults wouldn't allow themselves to puzzle because it's not productive. Okay, what is the point of this? It's not productive. But for me, it brings me joy. And of course, I still do have some of that programming where I feel like I always have to be listening to the latest course I'm in, or, you know, my business coach, like, videos that they have recorded. Like, I try to make it productive by listening to, like, always learning when I'm puzzling. But what I'm hearing is you need to let yourself puzzle and just do it without having to multitask. Just allow yourself to sit there and do it in silence without achieving any goal, okay, of any type of completion. Like, I completed this module, or I did this and that while I puzzled, to justify it. They're like, no, just do the thing without guilt. Do it for enjoyment and just try to savor the experience. So that's puzzling for me. I feel like even though I didn't do it as a child, it's kind of like an activity that kids are allowed to do. Kids are allowed to do lots of activities because they don't have to make money. They don't hopefully have as many responsibilities as adults. So there's time for these activities. And they're saying this month, you need to find an activity, okay, that lights you up, that you like to do, and do it not to be productive in any way or to generate any type of income. Do it because it's enjoyable, and try to savor the experience. Okay, the card also says, yeah, it says play, have fun, celebrate, don't be so serious. So if you have been feeling that you've been taking life a little bit too serious lately, and it could be very well warranted, okay, not to minimize anything that you've been going through, but they're saying, like, what's coming through is I'm sensing a real seriousness, a real serious energy around a lot of people, and just preventing them from seeing opportunities for joy in their life. And they're just saying to savor the small things. Okay, it's all about the little things. And if you want to feel enjoyment or joy when doing an activity, you need to feel gratitude, okay? Gratitude is so important, okay? And just being grateful, and that it's being grateful for the little things. Like, for me, when I wake up and I can make my matcha every day, like, I feel such gratitude that I can do that and I can make this warm beverage that I get to savor, and it just sets up my day. It makes me feel happy. I get happy choosing a song to go along with my matcha pour on Instagram. Like, These are very small things that do bring joy to my everyday life. And they're saying, like, if you are strapped for cash right now, like, there are still so many things that are free that can bring you immense joy. And don't allow yourself to be tricked into the thinking that you need a lot of money to have joy in your life. And they're saying it's quite the opposite. Like, and this kind of piggybacks on what was said last week, that there are so many people who have the car, the job, the, you know, going on vacation, doing this and that, and they're not truly happy. They still don't feel fulfilled. They're still looking to the horizon for what's next. Okay, what's, there must be something out there that's going to make me feel the way I've been striving to feel, like that feeling of contentment, like, and they keep moving forward and it's elusive. That feeling is elusive, I feel like, for a lot of people. They're saying it will continue to be that way when you are disconnected from yourself. And they're saying they're bringing gratitude into the equation this week, and the importance of gratitude, and that this should be a theme for the month of April, is focusing on what you have and showing extreme gratitude for it. And as you do that, you will be inviting more things in. And even if you feel like you have very little right now, you have very little, things are very challenging for you, perhaps financially, with regards to your life situation, just look at the things that you do have. And gratitude journal is going to definitely help foster those feelings of gratitude. But they're saying, yeah, gratitude is going to be huge. They're saying that you need to allow yourself to be grateful, that people are so conditioned to always being, to always looking forward to the next thing, that they don't even take the time to be grateful for when they receive the thing that they always wanted. They're just showing the absence of gratitude, that once you achieve that thing or get the thing that you wanted, it's like on to the next. It's like you didn't even stop and appreciate what you got, like what you received, what you earned, what came into your life. And they're saying, like, this is a very unhealthy cycle that will keep you stuck in a loop of unfulfillment. Okay, there needs to be time set aside every day. They're saying to, like, survey, take a survey, to be able to survey your life, survey your day. Even when you had the crappiest day ever, there's still things to be grateful for that happened that day. But we are so conditioned to be looking for the next thing that we need, that we're just losing sight. Like, we're missing the whole point. Like, what's the point of even achieving the thing if you don't take a moment and really enjoy it? They're showing me, like, that's where a lot of joy can come, is like really relishing. If you do bring something into your life that, you know, that has been something that you've hoped to call in for a long time, if you don't take the time to appreciate what came in for you and show gratitude, like, what is the point of even achieving this thing? Like, why do you even want it if you're not getting, they're showing me, like, there's little to no joy being obtained from, it's like crossing or marking these things off your list, the things that you wanted to do. They're saying, like, you're not even enjoying it. It's like on to the next. They keep just saying that, on to the next, on to the next. And so that's where, you know, they're saying gratitude is a form of mindfulness. It's stopping and taking stock of your life and what's happening in your life. And it's forces you to slow down and be present in your life and really experience what's going on. But they're showing me an interesting correlation here between people who are dysregulated and caught in a stress cycle, that they don't, you know, they're going to have difficulty showing gratitude because they don't want to slow down. They don't want to be in the present moment because, and they're showing me, in the present moment is where you can experience true joy, okay, and fulfillment. But they're showing me, conversely, you can also, that the present moment, and this is what people don't want, the present moment is where people will also experience painful emotions. okay that are perhaps coming to the surface. So people are stuck in an avoidance loop where they're not pausing enough to experience the positive feelings associated with the pause, with gratitude, the joy, the contentment, the fulfillment. They won't stop for that because they want to bypass the negatives. And what they're bringing into my awareness is much the same around drinking. Okay. Like when you drink, whenever I used to drink, like I know for me, alcohol was a definite, especially like in my later years of drinking. Well, I think all the time, really, if I'm being honest, but more leading up to when I quit drinking, I used alcohol as a coping tool to numb my emotions. I didn't want to feel them. Actually, what's coming through, I think that's what it always was for me. But anyway, what I've learned, through the million books that I've read, well, hyperbole, but the many books that I've read about drinking, is that like, yeah, alcohol can numb the unpleasant feelings, but the problem is it can't selectively go in and numb the bad feelings. It numbs all your feelings. So when you're drinking to not feel the bad feelings, you don't realize that you're also not experiencing all the feelings of joy and happiness. And so it's interesting because a lot of people say as they age, they become progressively like less happy. Like I used to be so happy when I was a kid and like nothing really makes me that happy anymore. And through my research and reading, it shows like if you're drinking, yeah, that totally makes sense because you're numbing your ability to feel happiness. If you drink every week and it's interesting that this is coming through. Somebody must need to hear this about alcohol. But if you're drinking every week, there's a pretty good chance that you're not as happy as you could be. And just from what I've read and from personal experience, I know that after I quit drinking, I was able to experience like true feelings of joy and happiness and peace and contentment. Yeah, did I have to experience some of the shitty emotions too? Oh yeah. And that's not fun. Were there many times that I wish I could have grabbed my glass of wine to numb when I was going through a hard time? Absolutely. It's not easy. Like there are, and they're showing me just like the song at the beginning. The beginning of this podcast when I talked about, well, Blinded by the Light, but when I was reading about the song, how it's the ups and the downs. Okay. And I attributed that to, or compared it to, the ascension path. And that's the same thing with drinking. Okay. There's amazing of not drinking. I should say there are amazing, like high highs for me of not drinking. And there are lows where I have to actually do the work and not just mask everything with a glass of wine. Okay. And I have to feel my feelings. And that is challenging. I'm not going to lie. Do I think about alcohol anymore? No, never. Okay. In the first year, did I think about it all the time? Yes. Okay. I really had to commit and immerse myself in reading and podcasts and all the things to reinforce why I was doing this, why this was a good decision and why it was a healthy decision for me. And so I relied heavily on Quitlet books, on podcasts. Like those were my saving grace, to be honest. 5 years sober now, I don't ever think about it. I can't even imagine drink. It just doesn't even cross my mind other than, I'll say sometimes to my husband, I'm so glad I don't drink anymore. I can't, like, oh my God, I'm just so glad I don't drink anymore because of the mental gymnastics that were associated with it too, and trying to moderate and like the time and space it took up in my brain. Anyhow, was not expecting to be talking about alcohol today, that's for sure. So maybe that is a sign for somebody listening today, and I'm hearing what they're bringing into my awareness back to what was mentioned at the first of the podcast. We talked about the things that we're clinging on to so tightly that feel like stability to us. Like what I'm seeing right now is somebody holding onto their alcohol like a life, what are they called? Life preserver. I'm seeing somebody in the water and it's like their alcohol is a life preserver. And I get it. That's how I saw alcohol. It was the only thing that I felt like was keeping my head above water for a long time. And what I'm hearing is like, don't judge yourself if that's been you. And you know what I'm also hearing is like some people have actually, you know, and I hesitate to say this, but this is what's coming through is like some people actually needed that alcohol for that period of time. Like that actually did get them through. Was it healthy? No. Like, was it, but that, like where, you know, and maybe this applies to me, like where I was at that period of my life, like that was the only, you know, it did keep my head above water until I realized that it was actually pulling me under. And they're saying like, it has to be your realization that the thing that you thought was keeping your head above water is actually the thing that's pulling your head underwater. And that goes back. It's interesting how this all comes back full circle at the beginning. That's the image. The images or the information that was coming through at the beginning is the same thing. It's that same premise. It's like the thing that you think is keeping you safe, okay, and that stability for you, it's the security, the safety for you is the thing that's actually jeopardizing your safety. And that's what alcohol was for me. I thought it was keeping me, it was my lifeline. Like that's what it felt like, the life preserver, but really it was slowly killing me. And for me, it kept me disconnected from my authentic self of who I really am. And I, you know, if you are new to the podcast, I have a couple of episodes on my journey to sobriety. If you want to go back and listen, they may resonate with you, or maybe they'll support you in some way, because I know that that's what I needed to listen to all the time, is people's stories about quitting drinking, because that it just motivated me to stay sober, and it motivated me and made me feel less alone, made me realize that, oh, it's not just me, because there is a stigma around if you quit drinking, you know, it's so much better. I feel like when I quit drinking, even 5 years ago, there's still much more of a stigma. It's like, oh, are you an alcoholic? Are you this or that? Like, and now it's like becoming cool to be sober curious. And that's just been in the 5 years. It wasn't as cool 5 years ago. It didn't feel as cool. And now in 5 years, we've come a long way. And there's been so much research coming out about, you know, how harmful alcohol is and to our health. And yeah, so anyway, was definitely not expecting to go there today. So I can only assume that somebody needs to hear this. So if you are struggling with a habit that you know deep down that it's not serving your highest good right now, take this as your sign, okay? And there are lots of supports out there. And what I'm hearing is like there are unconventional routes like that you can take that are still providing support. Like I always felt like if you were going to quit drinking, you had to go to AA. And when my husband quit drinking, he was 24, so that was a while ago. That was like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. He did go to a couple of AA meetings and they just didn't resonate. And I remember being worried because I had been conditioned to believe that the only way you could stop drinking was through AA. And now, through my own personal experiences, I've realized that there are so many different ways that you can receive support. There's so much support out there and so many free resources available. And it's not to say that AA might not be for you or some type of program, but what's coming through is that if you've tried that and it doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean all hope is lost. It means that you might need to find a different route. And it's interesting, this actually came up in my Reiki Master training, which we did recently, but we talked about spirit attachments and addictions. And a lot of people don't realize that if you are struggling with, like, there's a lot of people who are struggling with addiction that may have some attachments that are actually, I don't know how to put it, like fueling the addiction. And so when these attachments are cleared, some people are able to step away from their addiction, are able to heal from an addiction that they may have tried everything in the past and nothing was working. So there's some really inspirational stories how energy healing, spirit attachment release can really help somebody who is struggling with addiction. Anyhow, I'm kind of surprised that all this is coming through today. So April, yeah, I feel like April is going to be a month of releasing, letting go of the old, and that eclipse energy is going to help facilitate this process, okay? And if you read up on anything about eclipses, and I don't know a lot, but I do know that it's a time of great change. It could be abrupt change, abrupt endings of things, and what needs to be eclipsed out of your life will be eclipsed out, and new opportunities and people can eclipse in. And that kind of coincides with some of the messages that were coming through today. And, you know, the possibility of having difficult things happening at the same time as really positive things happening. So yeah, April, you're going to be interesting. You are going to be interesting. So I think it is time to power down this computer. I've been talking for over an hour, and I'm glad I actually remembered that it was the April forecast this month and didn't forget it like March is last month. So that's a bonus. As for working with me, I thought I would have had the dates out for all of my trainings that are coming up. I'm going to be offering a Reiki level 1 and 2. I'm going to put out another Reiki master training, as well as Animal Reiki 1 and 2 and Karuna Reiki Master Training and the Bridge again. Like, all of these things are in the works for future dates. But this March break has just prevented me from getting a lot of stuff done that I thought I would have gotten done. So bear with me. Be sure, as always, that you're signed up for my newsletter. If you sign up for the free Reiki Inner Child Healing Meditation, which will be great for April, I think. What I'm hearing is good for April to do this, connecting with your inner child. That will automatically sign you up for the newsletter. And that's just to ensure that you won't miss out on any upcoming training dates. And I still have, still releasing some one-off sessions as I transition into one-to-one mentorship and coaching. So I don't know how much longer I'll be doing this. I keep saying this, but someday it's going to get close. So follow your intuition if you are looking for a one-to-one session. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. Have a great Easter if you celebrate, and enjoy lots of chocolate if you love chocolate. And I will see you here next week. Same place. Same-ish time. Bye.